It's Don Koss and Dutch Savage at the desk this week for Portland Wrestling, the 10th of September 1982, because last week we heard that Frank Bonomo, who had been announcing and doing all sorts of interviews and linking and bringing in the advertisers and all the rest of that, had been working for Portland Wrestling for 17 years, and he last week had been admitted to hospital suddenly with heart problems, and that it's announced that on the Tuesday after that he passed away in the morning. So this is, it could be this episode, and clearly everyone is saying how much missed he is and how wonderful he was, and Dutch was a very good friend of his, and it could be a valedictory episode, and but it isn't. What this is a celebration of wrestling, and a celebration of the kind of wrestling that Frank Bonomo announced. And although Don Owen will announce that Frank has passed and give his regards to his family, it's in the middle of announcing another match, and they get on with the match. And what happens with Don Koss and Dutch Savage is that Dutch gives his insight into the wrestling. He's got a lovely turn of phrase, and we saw him last week, I think first time doing it, as he says this week, only the third time with a handheld mic, so I need to hold it up so you can hear me. And Don Koss, who has real wrestling announcing and commentating turn of phrase, he's a sports announcer, it sounds like to me, and he knows exactly what he's doing with that sports announcement, and that's it does really work. You know, I know I talked about some of the fluidity of Frank Bonomo's work, but he had a laconic delivery which really worked. And Don Koss doesn't have that. But what he does have is a real enjoyment of being there. And with Dutch there, it really works. So what they do here is they say, we're going to give you a great night of wrestling. It's going to be an extraordinary night of wrestling. And that's the celebration for the life of Frank, really. Dutch does say Frank knew the truth. Now, I've read that Dutch was born again in Christianity, in religion, and maybe it's a reference to that, I don't know. But they do say no one will replace him, and they're not trying to replace him, but they are doing a really good job keeping Portland Wrestling fans entertained here. And with wrestlers like Paul Ellering coming into the territory, big bloke, you know, that blonde hair, blonde Hulk Hogan tash, you know, the Zapata, I rocked one of those for a while. Oh, I did. And he's facing Stan Stasiak with those two in your first match. It's a clash of styles, and it really works. As Dutch says, you know, he says, well, he actually says this, and later on he says that Paul Ellering says he ran Jesse Ventura out of Minneapolis, which I think meant that Jesse went to the WWF. I think probably he wanted to go to the WWF, perhaps. But that's what he's saying, which is great, isn't it? We get Paul Ellering bodybuilding pose to begin with. Big slam. Stasiak's more meat and potatoes, as you know, and he's back with a headlock. Ellering gets some shots in, and then Stasiak goes to the eyes. Hits a hidden punch, because he can be a bit nasty and on the blind side of the ref. And Ellering begs off for a bit. He then gets away from what he considers to be Stan Stasiak's finishing move, the heart punch. You can see it coming. Gets away from it. Big, graceful clothesline. He flies through the air for a big man, does Paul Ellering. And he moves, and Stan Stasiak hits the buckle with the heart punch, which really hurts his hand. And he then falls foul to the full Nelson and submits to that. And as Dutch says, you don't usually get that. You wouldn't usually put a full Nelson on a man as big as Stan Stasiak and get a submission. He provides really good insight, does Dutch. Now, we've got Vince McMahon. We had him last week talking about Ric Flair. Because, of course, they're still in the NWA at this point, aren't they? The WWF, I think. Are they still the WWWF at the moment? I think they are, aren't they? Is it still Vince McMahon Sr. Or has Vince Jr. taken over? I can't be bothered to find out. But there you go. Last week he was talking about Buddy Rose, who's having a trip with the WWF, and clearly they've got an agreement with Portland that they will talk about this, facing Ric Flair. This week, there he is with the Wizard. The Grand Wizard is Buddy Rose. And he's going to fight Roddy Piper. They're going to fight on the East Coast, but they're also going to come to Portland to fight. That's going to be a huge fight. And the Wizard talks about Roddy not being able to play the bagpipes properly. He doesn't quite get it out very well, but you understand it. Later on, he says, they may not recognise Roddy's pipe face. Right, what you mean is, they may not recognise Roddy Piper's bagpipes, or they may not recognise Roddy Piper's face. That's what you mean. Not Roddy's pipe face. I don't know if he's got a pipe, if he had a pipe face. Maybe he liked to smoke a pipe. You know, tobacco and all of that. Aromatic clan we used to have in this country. And then maybe he's got a certain face when he's filled a pipe with tobacco and he's, very nice. Maybe it's that. Maybe they won't recognise that face. But I don't think so. I think he just messed it up. And then he leaves, so he doesn't get the chance to redo it. And, well, he did have the chance to redo it, but they didn't bother. Okay, Chris Adams versus Mike Miller. Now, Dutch predicts big things for Adams, if everything goes right for Chris Adams. Well, have a look at Dark Side of the Ring, and then tell, it was on last week, tell me whether or not you think things did go right for Chris Adams. Because, spoiler alert, they didn't. Yeah. Anyway, they're bigging him up here because it's the first time people have seen that super kick. They get so excited in commentary. This is another facet of the commentary this week. So excited by this. So you've got Miller getting to the ropes on an arm bar, a knee drop onto the arm from Chris, a headlock from Mike Miller, and then he stops himself as he's running the ropes because I think he sees Chris Adams winding up for that super kick. Chris gets a reverse suplex. There's a big slam shoulder tackle from Mike Miller. He then backs off again when he sees Adams winding up for that kick. But then he does get the kick. The commentary is so excited. And he tries another one and gets the pin. He doesn't get full extension on them. I'm not quite sure if they're really the kind of super kick that we would note now, as in, he stands stock still. The leg is completely extended. It's underneath the jaw or on the jaw. Done. But it looked good. And the crowd loved it. And so did the commentary team. Now, here's Ellering being sassy, bigging himself up with Dutch on interview. He tells us he's pretty in the face. Well, you're not going to say I'm pretty in the clavicle, are you? I'm pretty in the perineum. You can look it up. Look it up if you want. You're not going to say that, are you? Where else would you be pretty? Now, the Army now are, because Buddy Rose has gone to the WWF, are Rip Oliver, who runs the thing, the Assassin, and Abdullah, the Sheik, who later on, well, right now, actually. No, later on, actually, that's right. They're going to have an interview, and he doesn't sound like he's from anywhere else but the good old US of A, to be honest. Remember, he has oil on the back of his trunks. Now, Doncos makes a lot of that, and so does Dutch, and they work really well on this. Six-man tag, The Army versus Hack Sawyer, Steve Pardee and Terry Gibbs. Now, this is actually rather good. It looks like I thought it was supposed to be a best of three falls, and I think it is, but it doesn't really go that way. I can't really work out who wins in the end. Right, let me take you through the match. There's a Pardee armbar and a hammerlock. Yeah, that's all a bit prosaic, isn't it? Apparently, according to Dutch, Buddy Rose inseminated the First Army. Now, I don't think he means that. I don't know much about Buddy Rose and what he did outside of the wrestling world, but I don't think he inseminated the First Army. I don't think it works like that, medically. I think he instigated the First Army. I don't think he inseminated anybody, because it doesn't work. I don't know. Wrestling's a funny old thing, isn't it? I think probably Dutch means instigated. Yes, anyway, we're being told he inseminated the First Army. And back in the ring, You've got Hack, who comes off the top onto the shoulder and then works it with an arm lock. Rip Oliver pulls Hack down by his hair. I mean, it's a massive pull down. And then Gibbs handles Abdullah. Pardy gets the arm lock. Hack pulls on the arm to a 10 count. So he's pulling on the arm and the fans are one, two. That's great. Very nice. It is, however, at one point in this match, so slow, I thought the picture had frozen. Thought, but I can still hear the commentary. What's going on? Maybe the picture's frozen with the commentary. It was so slow. I think it was a headlock. I thought, we're frozen here, aren't we? Oh, no, they're moving a bit. The crowd are moving. We're frozen again. Oh, no, no, the crowd are moving. That's not great, is it? So we get some action with a massive assassin clothesline. A massive assassin clothesline. He's a masked man, of course. Then an atomic drop. Hack from the atomic drop. And I've seen him do that before. This before. He bumps over the ropes from that atomic drop. That takes some skill and some athleticism. There is a hack leg lariat. They don't mention it. I don't know if it's called a leg lariat at this time, but it looks blooming great. And Gibbs gets the abdominal stretch, but then there's a double, they come in for a double clothesline, the army, for the pin, and it's 0-1. Now, Ellering apparently has made an open challenge for Saturday. He'll fight anybody who's currently in the locker room. Well, there might be people who are not in the locker room tonight. So that's how you do it, you see. I've looked around the locker room and I think I can take any of them. So yeah, not anybody who's not in the locker room, mind you. Only the ones who are tonight. And Dutch very sweetly talks to Frank and it's lovely. Cut to Abe Collins, who's a Portland talk show host. He doesn't seem overexcited by the stuff in the ring. Not overexcited. Back in the ring, I'm not surprised because it's an Oliver headlock. And as Don Koss says, who needs the NFL when you've got this kind of stuff? Well, perhaps don't talk about that when someone's executing a headlock and moving it to a sleeper. I mean, perhaps do it when you've got bigger moves. That might be a good idea to save it up for a bigger move. Yeah. Gibbs then gets a desperation suplex and a hot tag tease. Hack gets in for that hot tag with the drop kicks. Gibbs buries the right hand into the assassin's solar plexus. And then the army hit their own man. The other team capitalise on it. It's one apiece. Now, they've only just been fighting, but this is what happens in Portland, and you get the interview, and it's the assassin getting excited, Abdullah sounding like he's very much from the good old US of A, and Oliver telling us that the army stick together like sugar sticks on honey. Oh, I do like that. Too sweet. Yeah, very nice. Now, back in the ring, we've got a Pardee headlock. You can go and make some waffles and come back and finish eating them and wash your hands, and he'll still be holding that sucker. I'll tell you that. There's a very nice close hack drop kick. Now, Dutch is right that he gets up so high for a smaller champion, you know, a heavyweight champion as he has been, gets up so high for that. And then we've got a lovely moment when Oliver is on the apron by the turnbuckle in his corner, turned to the fans, but with his right arm just reaching behind him and grabbing hold of Hack's trunks. That is lovely, lovely entertainment wrestling. I think that is great. Hack then fights for the tag, and Pardee gets in and goes for it, but there is a nasty Rip Oliver shoulder breaker to Pardee, and they get the pin. That's right, I didn't know who got the pin. So Oliver's army, ho ho ho, here to stay? Probably not, because I've read a history of Portland wrestling and they won't be around for all that long, but they get the pin. And we get the interview, and this is extraordinary. After a bit of talk from Hack Sawyer, when's your brother coming? We saw last week that he was on his way. Maybe his flight's got cancelled, or maybe he's waiting for a connecting flight in Tulsa or something like that, where it takes 48 hours or maybe 2 weeks to get your connecting flight. Or maybe he's walking. I don't know. But he's not here yet. And it's been a week. Anyway, Pardee wants to accept Ellering's open challenge. I think Ellering will beat him, to be honest. Although it'll be a bit more of a fight than he had earlier, perhaps. And then Terry Gibbs. And this is great. Steve Pardee is standing right next to him. And he talks about Pardee. No, he's really good, you know. He's really good in that ring, Steve Pardee. He's really good. He does really well in the ring. Almost as if people have been saying he's not very good, and he felt he had to tell us all that Pardee is better than people think he is. Talk about damning with faint praise. Pardee is standing right there, Terry. Steve is standing next to you. It's a bit weird. But Portland Wrestling this week was great. They make some real changes. Ella Ring's come in. You've got Don Koss and Dutch Savage. I presume they'll continue on commentary. It's terrible not to have Frank Bonomo there, but they work really well together. And they have a bit more energy. Not that Frank wasn't energetic, but he had more of a laconic delivery. This has more energy, and it takes us somewhere else. And I rather enjoyed it. But you know, I do like Portland. You know that, don't you? You know I like Portland Wrestling from 1982. We're getting to the end of the year. I don't know what I'm going to do after that. I'm a bit frightened. Oh, mind you, it does go into 1983, doesn't it? That's the way years work, Steve. Yes, I know that. So I'll be here next week. Hope you will too, because I'm having a blooming good time. Ta-ta.